Welcome to the Mandy Trapp Podcast. My name is, of course, Mandy Trapp, and I am a busy mom of three, a mindfulness coach, and the founder of Lifestyle Meditation. I believe that all of us, whether you know it or not, are on a journey to find out who we are, why we're here, and how to get what we really want. But to know all of this, I know that we must get quiet enough to hear the answers. Sometimes these answers come from somewhere deep within ourselves, and other times we find the answers in listening to the stories of others. This podcast is all about taking you beyond the idle and sometimes distracting chatter of the mind and introducing you to new and creative ways of seeing the world, yourself, and even the problems that you face. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let the experience begin. All right. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Mandy Trapp Podcast. Today, I am sitting with a guest, Grace Cohn. And Grace, when I had asked her, how do you identify yourself? Grace is a mother, first and foremost, a mother. So as am I. So we can definitely connect over that, Miss Grace. And an activist. We're going to learn a lot more about her passion and what it is that she's helping to educate the world all about today. And she's an author. And what's the name of your book, Grace?
The name of my book is Children of Autumn, Autism Yes. Here on Purpose.
Awesome. And that leads us into allowing Grace now a little bit of space to share with me too, because I'm a little bit green on Grace, and you as well, to share a little bit more all about Grace. And today being an extra special day that we're recording this podcast, because it is World Autism. Is it World Autism Day or Autism Awareness Day?
Yes, World Autism Day.
Beautiful. All right, Miss Grace, let's hear a little bit more about you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mandy. So, and hello, everybody out there listening. Really wonderful to be with you all today, especially on this auspicious day, World Autism Day. So I just got home from a whirlwind trip in Arizona and then out to Saskatoon, where we were doing some celebrating for this month. Actually, this whole month is accredited to autism awareness, but this is the actual day that's assigned for everyone in the world. So we can celebrate with everyone out there in every country who's celebrating this day today. And yes, I did write a book. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Children of Autumn, Autism Here on Purpose. And the Autism Here on Purpose part came actually in a dream, in dream time in Saskatoon. And when I first, the Children of Autumn piece I can speak about later, that's been with me pretty much all my, well, for the last 25 years. Yeah. And as Joseph Campbell talks about, sometimes people receive a song, and really this has been my life story, where I received this song, Mandy, from really the ethers. I had no intention of writing a song. I was just walking around going grocery shopping with my son. This was in Toronto at the time, and I received this song and I started singing this song. Everything was there, words, rhythm, melody, everything. And I wasn't really paying too much attention to the song, quite honestly, until I reached the bridge of the song. And then when I got to the bridge of the song, the words, "the light in you had started to fade," I just hit me, and it was like a tidal wave of tears came out of my eyes, and I realized, whoa, and it was like a wake-up call, and I knew that whoever was channeling, I'm going to call it a channeling, this song to me was hitting some truth there for sure.
Absolutely.
And that has become my life's work. And that was even prior to my daughter, who has autism, coming onto the planet. So that started, luckily I have a pretty good memory. So I turned the carriage around, I went home. I had fortunately remembered all the words to that song, so I wrote them all down. And my husband, I call him now, he came home from work, and I sang him a song. And he was like, wow, like I could hear, it's a very simple song, but he could suddenly hear this children's choir in the background, and there was something about this song. And so that's become, like I said, my life's work. But the
How long ago was that?
Well, that was like, so my son, my wonderful son, Griffin, is now 26. And he
Okay.
was one. So it was 25 years ago. So 25
Unbelievable.
years ago, this was seeded, is how I would call it. You know,
It
this
was
project
seeded.
was
And then
seeded.
how long after this moment did you have your daughter?
She was born 2 years later.
Okay. And in that
Yeah.
moment, did you feel like this was a premonition? Did you know? So I have some friends and some of my students as well who have children who are on the spectrum. And even
Right.
though, sometimes it takes a few years to diagnose that, there was quite a few of them that knew, the moment that they had their child and they looked at them, that there was something extra special about them.
Well, what I can tell you for sure, Mandy, is, and I am not, I have done no drugs in my
Yeah.
life. For any listeners out there who
Yeah.
now legally smoke pot, happy to know you. But
Yeah.
I have not even smoked a joint in this lifetime. You know, I've
Yeah.
never done any kind of hallucinogenics or any kind of drugs at all. And when I was pregnant with my daughter, I had
Yeah.
this probably most mystical experience I've ever had in my life to date.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, you know, it freaked me out. I was like, "Whoa, what's happening to me?"
What do you want to share? I'm curious.
Sure. And
What
it is also, yeah, it's also in the book, but
Is it?
basically,
Okay.
so yeah, but I'm happy to share because
Yeah.
it was profound, and it really made me realize that there's a lot more going on in different
Absolutely.
levels of consciousness that I know you're aware of through what you do with your work. And I was literally able to see it as opposed to just perhaps feel it or
Feel
know
it.
that it's there. So
Absolutely.
what happened was one morning, my son and my husband were leaving the house early to go visit my parents, actually, who were alive at the time. And it was about 7 in the morning. I was guided to go downstairs and put on a piece of music. And the music was a Dionne Warwick song. The name of it's slipping my memory right this minute,
Yeah.
but it's something about I sing at dawn. That's it. I sing
Okay.
at dawn. That's the song. So I put it on, and at the time we lived in this house close to High Park, where they had in the house there were stained glass windows, and so I just the sun started to come through these stained glass windows, and so I was kind of basking in the sun, swaying to the music, really enjoying the sunlight on my third eye, and then all of a sudden I saw this enormous eye, like an eye that we see out of an eye, but it was about the size of an elephant's head. Like it was huge, but it
Yeah.
was in my mind's eye.
Okay.
And I thought, I was like, what is that? And then this little voice inside of me, and I'm not crazy, said, this is your angel. And I fell to the ground, and I was quite pregnant at this point. I was about 6 months pregnant. And when I had children, I gained a lot of weight, so I was quite large. And I just again started to cry, like just these tears of something's going on here that's truth.
Yeah,
And that is really my
absolutely.
barometer for this is truth. When I even tear up, I'm like, oh, I'm hearing
Oh,
truth.
absolutely.
You know, so
Unbelievable.
anyway,
Yeah.
yeah. And then I looked over, and we had an open concept in our house. And I looked over, and on my dining room table was an eagle, illuminated in light. And I was, so it was in the light spectrum, you know, so
Yes.
I
Yeah.
was
Yeah.
beyond 3D, like I was seeing something else. And you know, these days, of course, they're picking up things, picking up with cameras, orbs, and all kinds
Absolutely.
of things that they're seeing. But this was, you know, this was 20, Jules is 23, so 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And back then, for me, that was just outrageous. But it was just, it would be like seeing your dog, but in light, you
In
know? And
light.
so, of course, I still can totally see it.
Yeah, of
Now,
course.
when I was writing my book, I ended up referencing this woman who I use a lot. I check her out a lot. Ina Wolcott is her name.
Yeah,
You might know her.
I
She does a
do.
lot of shamanic work.
Yeah.
And she talked about eagle. And honestly, like when I read it, I was like, oh my God, because, and I talked about it in my book. I was like, had I known how to speak eagle, and of course, this was the initiation that I believe I was on with my
Absolutely.
daughter,
Yeah.
I would have known what was coming.
Yeah. And yet not meant to know all of that, right? Because I think that the contract is about in the learning and the experience of it. If we had known everything in that moment, then it's kind of like, what's the point in playing the game? Right? So it's interesting that you say this because it's funny now, and I talk so much about meeting my children for the first time with a lot of people and how I also had premonitions before they came and along the way. And I feel like the more people that I talk to, the more even people that have been kind of closed off to it, not intentionally, but maybe just a little bit more closed off to the idea, kind of gives them permission to think back to some of those moments that you kind of go, am I going crazy at the time? So maybe you just categorize it, you put it away in the crazy compartment until somebody legitimizes it and says, yeah, no, you're not crazy. You did have that conversation, or you did see that animal, or you did see the colors. And starting to put all of the pieces back together, I feel like this is part of our soul's journey of reclamation. Right. And that's part of I don't know. I think within that too, we bring other people into our little web, and there's all of these connections, and your acts of remembering along the way have helped others remember who they are. And I just kind of feel like if you know it all when you come, then you sometimes you don't decide to even take the journey anyway, 'cause it's like, oh, I already know how that's going to end up. Make sense? Oh, I lost you. Grace, are you still there? Grace. Hello? Grace.
Hello,
Oh,
I
hello.
can hear
There you
you.
are. Okay, you could hear me? Okay, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay, sorry about
That's
that. I don't know
okay.
what
No
happened, but
problem. Okay, I can edit that part out. Could you hear me talking?
yeah, I
Okay,
could hear you. I could hear you the
awesome.
whole time. It could be because we're in the mountains. I'm not sure, but yeah, I was like, I'm here, I'm here.
Maybe so you're here. Okay, no problem. I'll edit out the Grace. Grace got lost in a different dimension there for a moment. Okay,
Are you here?
so you have your daughter, and you begin to recognize that there's something uniquely special about her. And you've heard the song before she was born, and then what?
And then for a few years, it was just she had this incredible aura about her. It was so sweet, actually, because my father, who was quite Germanic and very tough, was afraid of her. And
Interesting.
other people were quite nervous around her, only because if you even look at pictures of her when she was like from, a baby to 1 year old, she had this auric field around her, Mandy, that was so powerful. Like,
Wow.
so powerful.
Yeah.
And you know how they say, I was just blessed to be part of a birthing just yesterday. So,
Yeah.
this is fresh in my mind.
Oh.
And it was just amazing. That's another story. But when Julianne came home, like, day two, and you know how they say babies don't look at you, they can't
Yeah.
see, and all this. But I know, and I have friends who said the same thing, was she looked at me into my soul.
Yeah.
And when that happens, like Elise and I actually were just down in Arizona together, and we were fortunate enough to be able to go to a wolf sanctuary inside with wolves. Like, it was
Awesome.
incredible.
Yeah.
And this one wolf looked me in the eye, Mandy, and it was just like, again, such a healing, like right through,
Such a
like
healing. Yeah.
such a healing. And I just started to cry again, and it
Ah.
was so beautiful. But those were the first pieces that I started to notice, right?
Yeah.
Because my son is awesome too. And but her energy just seemed to be even more stronger, is the word I would use,
Yeah.
just stronger. No real signs, I would say, of again, of course, we're going back 23 years. So the diagnostics for autism were very limited back then.
Right.
I didn't even really know what the word meant, other than the one show that I had seen, with
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, of
And
course.
yeah, and certainly she didn't resemble that at all. I mean,
Yeah.
if you saw pictures of her, there's no signs at all. She looks completely typical. She just happens to be a beautiful looking person as well. But then it came later, like around two, I would say, when language starts to form, and that is
Yeah.
part of being diagnosed with autism, there has to be a language piece to
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And so her close friend, who was born days before her, started to speak and, so forth, and she didn't. And at first I was a little concerned, but then I spoke with my husband's mom, and my husband didn't speak either until he was about 3 to 4 years old, and he's brilliant, a genius. So I was like, okay, no worries, right? And she just seemed, again, with her eyes, the way she would take in the world, very alert, extremely alert. So we had this basically telepathy going on, is how I would describe it now. I knew what she wanted. She knew how to explain to me what she wanted. And then it just went from there, where there was some more mystical experiences occurred. And so coupled now with the mysticism and her not being able to speak, something was starting to shift. We was like, okay, there is something going on here. Yeah. We're not sure what, but there is something. And eventually we moved out to Jasper. Julianne was about 3 years old, actually, when we moved out here. And we've lived here ever since.
Okay.
And I used to perform a one-woman show based on this nurse named Edith Travel, who there's a beautiful mountain, if you've been to Jasper, named after her.
Many, many times.
So Jules was in the daycare there for just in the morning. She'd be there from 10 to 12. And it was the woman who ran the daycare. So Jules is now 3 years old, who brought me into her office one day and said, you know what? I think there is something going on here, and I think you need to have her tested. And of course, like any parent, you know, that's your worst nightmare.
Of course.
And so we started the process. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we found that she was scoring low on every area, basically, that they test. Mm-hmm. And so then from there, we went to the Glenrose Hospital. And we went through testing there. And that was an interesting experience, because the first people that we saw, and I still have those reports, were saying things like, even though she's doing this and even though she's doing that, we are not going to diagnose her with autism. Now, at that time, though, and I don't want to make this political, but basically the only people who got funding were those people who were diagnosed with autism.
Right.
And so they were very, very stringent on who they were going to give that diagnosis
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A number of years later, and at this point now, Julianne was actually verbal, like she could speak.
Okay.
We went back, because she was 5 when we went to the Glenrose Hospital. Okay. And then at 7, we were asked to go back. And she now had some language, because I had started working with her doing a program. And we had the same pediatrician, who was lovely, this lovely woman, and she had way more diagnostic skills under her belt. And she then said, and she spent a lot more time with us. The first time she spent 10 minutes with us.
Right.
The second time she spent an hour and a half with us. And she said, oh yeah, now I see it. So then they changed the diagnosis.
Right.
So, and then we really started, you know, then it was like, okay, now I can research what is autism and how do I help her and so forth. So,
yeah. And that's really interesting. So do you think the difference the second time then was just that your daughter was a couple of years older, so now they could see more of a noticeable difference? Or do you just think that the pediatrician had more experience, because you said now she had, you know, more diagnostic experience under her belt? Do you think that she was better able to recognize it, or do you think it was kind of timing and synchronicity?
I think it was really the diagnostic piece, and she would say that herself,
right?
And I think that's good. I think that's good for the people that are being born onto the planet now.
I think so,
because and this is why I go out and do what I do. And this is why I wrote the book, because my goal now is, like, pretty much I'm a veteran, you know, like, and I'm a mom. I'm a mom.
Course.
And my daughter was extremely autistic. I mean, she was a feces smear. Like, that is something that will push anybody's buttons, you know? And so, you know, you can imagine your home being covered in poo. Like, it's not fun.
No kidding.
I didn't have a highly functioning person on the spectrum. I had a low functioning, severely autistic person who I can go out and say, hey, I get it. You know, like I get the challenge. Like, it's intense. The most intense Mandy work I've ever done in my life.
Well, it's intense for everybody, and you don't know what you don't know. Right. And so I think even though we don't really know each other all that well yet, I think that we see the world in the same way, and that we are multidimensional beings. And oftentimes our medical system and our diagnosis system is only looking within one dimension. And even then, what they know is so limited. Right. So this is the part that makes me excited about the work that you're doing. And it's not just you, is that there's so much more work that's being done now to really, I think, pierce holes in the veil around what is autism and what isn't it. And we're not just looking at the basics of, you know, as you're kind of speaking, how do I function on the day to day in this three-dimensional world? But when we can start to know more, we can start to do more. And I think that we're seeing this in all of those different realms. And I would love to hear for you kind of what your evolution has been on this path.
And that's really why I wrote the book. And that's really why it's called Autism Here on Purpose, because I truly believe, Mandy, that these beings are here to raise consciousness.
I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. And they are brave. They are brave and so loving to come here and, you know, take on this job, you know, again, like you said earlier, not knowing exactly how it's going to go, trusting, fingers crossed, that people are going to support us and then learn from us. And so, yes, that was the biggest light bulb on moment, aha moment. I was working with Jay-Z Knight at the Ramtha School of Enlightenment. I was very purposely in an exercise, and I realized, holy smokes, like, as much as I've been doing for my daughter, which I had been doing a lot, I gave up my career, I went on sabbatical for 2 years, my marriage went sideways. I did everything I could to help her, because she was still pretty much nonverbal at seven, feces smear, couldn't do anything. So everything I could do, I had a team of volunteers, 10 people at least at a time, who were working with her one-on-one. I was training them. I was fundraising to make all this happen. You know, it was just every single thing I could do was, and she was making progress, you know, and we were mapping it all. We were recording it all. I was at the school and I realized, oh my God, she is also teaching me to become bigger and wiser and more patient. And let's talk about some basic things. To become more patient, to become more loving, to become more compassionate, to become more forgiving. I mean, this is a child, I used to call her my forgiveness strengthener. I mean, it was
What types of things did your daughter teach you?
Okay, so basically what she taught me were in some ways simple things, but very profound things. So she taught me to be extremely patient. And I'll give you an example of that, Mandy. So it took my daughter 2.5 years to learn the numbers symbolically 1 to 5. So we would work with her. We had a special playroom set up in our home. I had volunteers working with her and myself. Even my son was part of that team for a while, and we all were on the same page as how we were going to teach her these, whatever our goals were. We always had 12 goals going on. And so it took her 2.5 years to learn the numbers 1 to 5, which looking back, I go, whoa, like, how do we even stay doing that? And here's the key. The way we did it, and I know this will resonate for you, is we were present. We were just present. We were present in every moment. Every day was a new day. Every day was, okay, what are our goals today? Oh, this is still on the list. Okay. It wasn't about the past or how long is this going to take. We didn't know. So when we finally got it, there was celebration. We always had group meetings once a week. I cooked dinner at my house and we were like, woohoo, she for sure knows it. Like, we tested her, you know, up the yin basically. And so then a little bit of fear crept into me and I was like, oh my God, now we're going to spend another 2.5 years learning 6 to 10. And then I had to refresh my mind and go, Grace, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long it takes. She learns. This is the key piece that I want to share. She learns, right? The miracle that happened, Mandy, was that she learned 6 to 10 within a week. Then it was 10 to 20. Then it was 20 to 30. You know, like, it was like we had created a highway in her brain, a new highway chiseled out that took 2.5 years for that kind of capacity to be understood. But once it was done, it just opened up a whole world. And that to me was enormous because I thought, wow, like imagine if we had quit. Imagine if,
Yes,
because that
exactly.
play games, now we could do all kinds of other things and with numbers. And what if we had quit? Like that just
Totally.
that piece of our life would have been,
Yeah, would have been
be so.
gone. And so, did that translate to other things that she was learning as well, outside of just numbers, like simple
Well, so,
tasks or behaviors?
yes, we always had two goals from each quadrant that they look at when they're diagnosing children. So, gross motor skills, two fine motor skills, two self-help skills, two language skills. Like, so we had two in each category. And the brilliance was she always kept us in the game. That's how I would say it, because some of those kept us, she would, we, it took a long time. Like learning how to tie her shoelaces took 4 years.
Yep.
Okay. 4 years. So that was on that self-help list for a long time. But there were other carrots that were in front of us that she would master within maybe 3 weeks or a month
Yeah.
or. And so we were, there was always some celebration going on. And so that was what was motivating myself and the team. And particularly with language, there was a lot of, she went from nonverbal to speaking and then speaking in sentences. And I would say now, at times when she so desires, channeling. I mean, she has channeled, which I just want to share with you because this
Yeah.
will resonate. You was she then was the first person who really channeled about, she didn't use the words SRT, but it's really what SRT does. And she talked about, we were celebrating Mary Magdalene's feast day. It was July
Yeah.
22nd, a number of years ago. A lot of wonderful people with us. We had just finished. Everybody was up in the kitchen gathering their food, preparing for the feast. Julianne stayed back. And then this voice came out of her, Mandy, that was like literally everyone in the room. Imagine all your
Yeah.
colleagues from Lifestyle who,
Yeah.
what they're turned around, leaned in, and were completely quiet. And of course, as a mother, you can relate to this too.
Yeah.
There's a voice saying, "Should I stop her? Like, what's going on here?" And
Absolutely.
voice in my head just said, "No, let her rip." And what she was talking about in this voice that was not her voice
And
was pro.
in a language that wasn't typical language for her.
It was English, but it was
Yeah.
just the sound of her voice, the
Yeah.
tonality of her voice,
Okay.
was not her voice. It was just
Yeah.
much more, it was a very powerful, very deeper voice. And she talked about programs. She said, "You're all running these programs, and you really need to get to a place where you say enough is enough, and the programs have to go." And so they're all friends of mine. They came up to me after and said, "Have you ever heard her speak like this?" And I said, "The only time it was the same quality, the same essence, was we were actually in Magdalene's cave in France, in Saint-Baume." And she's, I would call it channeling again. She spoke in this way that I was like, "I need to write this stuff down."
Yeah.
And what was writing? What was she talking about? Judgment, forgiveness, and these are key things that she's taught me. And I don't know if that would come through on the first recording, but forgiveness. I mean, she was my forgiveness strengthener. It was a constant, every day was a many times I had was given the opportunity to forgive. And those are opportunities because now it's like going to the gym. The more we practice it, the better we get at it. Then when we
Absolutely.
go out into the world, right, it's we're constantly being bombarded with
Yeah.
situations
Yeah.
where we can again offer that type of response. And so
Yeah.
I feel like I was in training with her for years. When I was in the playroom with her one-on-one, and I used to do 4 hours a day sometimes, she was training me to be focused, Mandy, completely focused, to be patient, to see
She is the
what
master. She was the master. And
with
isn't it
her.
interesting how we have these masters everywhere in our
Yes.
world, but in a lower state of consciousness, we actually see them as our students. And we
Yes.
miss the lesson that's sitting right in front of our face, that greatest opportunity. I love that you said that even looking back now on spending 2.5 years to teach your numbers 1 through 5, even now you're like, that was crazy. I can't believe that we did that. Because I
Yeah.
think that that's what a lot of people from the outside looking in are like, Oh, I don't think that I could do with whatever that is, right? Whether you're, raising a child, like a child who is more typical, even then it's like, God, I don't know if I could ever get through that phase. Or having a, my girlfriend just came out of having a very colicky baby, and she kind of said the same thing, like that was the worst year of my life. But if I had woken up every morning and thought, oh, this day is gonna suck, then I mean that creates such an intense amount of suffering. But it's like today's a new day. And whether that goes on for a day, a week, a year, or 10 years, sometimes it's not until we've gotten to the other side that we even amaze ourselves, or we're humbled by our own perseverance and the strength and the courage that we have to get through it.
And it's the love that gets you through it,
It
right?
is the love. You
Love your
nailed
child,
it. You nailed it.
that's how you do it, because
Yeah.
this is, this is your child. This is your, to me, it was just, I wanted it for
Yes.
her and I wanted it for me. And I
Of
also went
course.
to a wonderful place in the States called the Options Institute. And
Yeah.
that was a key teaching there was, you know what? She's actually fine where she is. You're
Yeah.
the one relationship with her on your terms. You're the one who wants her to
Absolutely.
speak to you and say, "Thanks, Mom, that was a good supper. I really enjoyed that." Or if you take her on a trip, bow down in front of you basically and say, "Thank you. I really enjoyed that trip." You're the one, And so this is about you. This is about you. This isn't really about like it, there's this dance that's going on. And so when I really
Yes,
realized like
yes.
I'm not a victim here. She's happy where she is. She got Buddha for the rest of her life. She's cool. It's me who wants this. I want to ski with her.
Yes.
I want to bike ride with her, And so that took it out of the victim. And that was a big challenge with the with all the mirroring and all that, you can imagine. But she broke down
Yeah.
so many beliefs. So many
Yeah.
beliefs. When I present now, and I just came back from Saskatoon, like I said, I have one of her, we call it a shit painting, because that was the medium that she was using, was feces. And inside the when I blew up the picture, I would love to show you this picture one day, Mandy.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
because there's all these pictures in there, and they're literally, and I swear to God this is true, there's Merlin the magician is in there. And
Wow.
so it's like, for those who have the eyes to see the magic in the mess,
Yes.
what these children do. And she took me
Yes.
to my most humblest ground. I mean, I was, I was in my dark night of the soul, and
Yeah.
get me the frick out of here. I want out. And then I started to change my beliefs, and I worked with a process called the dialogue, which I learned through the Options Institute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's very, that's a very powerful way of doing it. There's other ways too now, listening to Byron Katie,
Byron
just
Katie. Oh my
yes.
God, I love her. It's funny, even as you're speaking, that's what I'm thinking. And
Yeah.
just even me, you hear it, hearing you talk about your daughter. I had this really interesting moment about a year ago where I was rushing to get to the studios, running like a really big full moon ceremony. And my daughter, who's almost 17 now, has struggled with quite severe anxiety and OCD most of her life. And I just was crying the whole way here. And you know what? I sat down and took a deep breath just before I was about to speak, all eyes on me, and I just started to cry. And everybody's just waiting, going, what is this lady crying about? And it was totally unrelated to what I was talking about, but I just said out loud that it just hit me that we don't always get the kids that we want, we get the kids that we need. And my salvation has been through having her, hands down. She's fine who she is. But it's been me. Do I gotcha? Grace.
Endless, I'm
There you
here.
are. Okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. Okay.
Okay,
So
where's she?
I'm interested to hear now. So you're speaking, and this incredible activist about all of this. How's your daughter now? Where is she at? What is she up to?
So she's living in Calgary with a wonderful family. taking a course at Bow Valley College. She still needs some, she's not fully recovered out of autism. And I say that with some of your listeners are going to be like, what is she talking about? Fully recover. And I want to bring that into this podcast if we can, because
Please.
there are people who recover out of autism, and it is an interesting dynamic right now in the world that it's almost taboo to be talking about that. There are two doctors, and if anybody is interested in knowing their names, I'm so happy to share that they can contact me at childrenofautumn.com. Two doctors in the States who are now actively tracking this, where children have been severely autistic, definitely diagnosed with autism, and are now completely fully functioning. There is no autism left. There's nothing. So, of course, when I first even believed that that was a possibility, I was very much focused on that happening for Julianne. And that was part of my journey too, was to relinquish control and just let her be. And still with the idea that she can still, I believe anything is possible. I absolutely am a believer in miracles now.
Yeah.
And so she can, in a moment, change. You know, you listen to Byron Katie's story, for example, in a moment had an incredible awakening. So anything
absolutely
is possible. And so Julianne is still, she's still learning, she's still reading, she's still active, she looks great. We just saw her the other day, and she still has autism, and she's wonderful. She's calm. This was a child who we used to call Tiger, because her nervous system is such a wreck.
Absolutely.
And that's another piece that I talk about, Mandy, is in the diet. You know, the diet is so important for these children.
Yeah.
And it really needs to be addressed. And it was something that my husband, he didn't really believe in it at first, but he, even after even just 10 days of her being on a diet specific for her, you could see she was calmer. She had more eye contact. And with all those things, then she can learn better.
Yeah.
So the diet is huge. And there's a lot of doctors out there now talking about the brain-gut connection.
Of course.
And I would again advise parents to really look at that. And a lot of parents there, that's a big one for parents. They're like, oh, well, we can't do that. We can't change our diet. I'm like, you know what? I am the poster girl for you. Totally can.
Absolutely.
You can. There is to make that decision. And yes, it is challenging. Have supports, have people helping you. Do it at the pace you can. But white sugar. Oh my God.
The
so
worst.
Terrible for
absolutely.
Yeah.
Eats away at the brain, right?
Yes.
There's just so much out there. So it's always interesting to me when there's still people that are so skeptical around something that is so simple. When you see a child who's struggling, you know, in these ways to connect, their nervous system is totally tapped, as you had said, they can't focus. And I think this is any child. This is a child that isn't even on the spectrum. And you see the impact that specific foods, that sugars and dyes and all of this has on their body. And you take it out of their system for just 2 days and you see a difference. I think that
Absolutely.
Is, there's a lot of faith that gets built within that as well, right? And you're right, you can't do it alone. And what it's back to, you know, earlier, the first pediatrician that you met is you don't know what you don't know. And so there's a ton of education and resources and tools out there. And then we can even put some, if you don't mind sending me some, I'll just put them in the description for this podcast for people that really do not know where to go or where to start looking.
Yes, I would be happy to do that, because it makes such a huge difference. And as you know, the temple, when the temple is in its balanced state, then you can activate, you can do so much more, you can learn, you can change, you can build new neurons. My story is all about that. It's really, we are living proof that without any intervention of drugs and so forth, you know, Jules learned to learn, and she learned to read, and she learned so many things. It took time, it took patience, but it was totally worth it. Totally worth it.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay. And that's the other thing. I think a lot of parents worry a lot about, but what will happen to my child in the future? What will happen to me if I invest all that time? You know what? My story is happy ever after. I met this wonderful man who my daughter, I have to just let you know this right here. So, and because Julianne and I do have a connection with Mary Magdalene for sure. And Julianne went up to my husband's name is David, and she took his face in her hand and she said, "Jesus, my Jesus." And this was at a barbecue that we were at one year, and all my girlfriends, we just were like, we all heard that, right? And it was just this one
You're
moment.
like, what?
What? But he is so supportive of everything I do, and and both my children and what they're up to. And so it all works out. Like, you have to believe that, it can work out. It totally can. And hold that focus of the life you want to create. If, and I still hold the focus of her fully in her absoluteness. That's how I'm gonna say that she becomes and actualizes everything that she wants to become and actualize, and
Absolutely. Is
no
she
limit.
still channeling?
Again, that's something that she does when she wants to. It's not like you could walk and go, "Hey, Jules, channel something for me." She's constantly, when she talks to people, again, I'd love her to meet you because it's like she can and see what a person needs, and then she'll just say it. So I have a girlfriend who was visiting a while back, and I'm not going to use her name, but let's say I use your name, and she would embrace you, and she said, Mandy, enough," and really is that you're enough, like you are enough. And this is part of the awe, is the love that we get back from these children of they're saying, "You're awesome. Like, see who you are." And it ties back into that the song that came through, at the very beginning, the light. You are the light. That is who you are. They talk about this in the Course in Miracles. I am the light of the world. That is my only function here. That is it.
That's
I
it.
am light. So you can just show up. You can just show up. Your frequency, just being on the planet, walking around, is helping to heal,
Absolutely, it is. Oh,
So
I'm
those are
so
the kind of things.
exciting. Like, there really is no accidents. Back to you even just saying that things will work out. If you work at it, they'll work out. Well, they're working out as exactly as they're meant to. As well is really what I believe, that there are no accidents. There's no accident that she came through you. There's no accident that she, is having had some of the challenges, but also the breakthroughs that she's had for everybody's life that she's touched and that you have touched as a result of what you're doing as well. So thank you for doing that work, because I really feel that there are so many that forget that they've come here and that they've signed these contracts and they've come to learn this. That it's all part of the play, if you want to call it the play or the game, as you said, Julian kind of kept pulling you guys back into the game. Is the play or the game is so that we can have the experience of remembering that we are the light, of remembering that we are connected. That is the why. Why me? Why this life? Why is all of this happening? I always say the answer so that you can remember who you are. That's
It's
it.
so beautiful.
It's
So
the
beautiful.
most
And
beautiful circle.
it connections keep growing. We were just in
Of
Saskatoon,
course.
and every Saskatoon, that circle there keeps growing. And I'm heading to Vancouver next Friday, and that circle's growing. And we were just in Arizona, and it's just, and in Edmonton, like it's growing and growing, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And so I'm like, okay, this is, and I said at this celebration that we had on Saturday night in Saskatoon at this place called Soul Foods, I said, you know what? We would not be here if it was not for Julianne. I know it.
It's
None of
true.
us would be. We did all the circle dancing and chanting together,
She's brought you all here. She's brought you all together.
and all ages, Mandy. All there was
I
children
believe
there
it.
was older people there. There was every color was represented. It was just beautiful, and I was like, "Wow!" I'm still in awe. I'm still in awe,
Well, and
and
kudos to you to have the courage, though, to keep doing this, because there was a time in our history where you and I would be burned at the stake, or we have been burned at the stake. For
Oh yeah.
publicly, declaring what we know to be true.
Yes. Well, that's where NRT again is one of those wonderful modalities, and I know Elise works through lifestyle there, and Elise is awesome at what she does, and it is that modality where you can clear a lot of those energies, as you know, that are attached to
Absolutely.
type of lives that we've had for sure. And it does totally work. So, and again, that, you know, that was so magical how SRT, that's another story, you know, Mandy, how that all came about. And it just is like, oh my God, yeah. Like it just goes on and on, you know?
Okay. Well, I'll have to have maybe when you come to town, you and Elise both, well, I'll have to get both of you guys on this podcast talking about SRT because it's definitely something that's changed my life and my practice and my connection and so many others that come in through the center, through the space as well. Well, it is like the timing couldn't have been better. I'm so grateful to have had you here and to meet you. I feel like we have a lot more talking to do off the recording, off air, and see if we can't maybe figure out. I just think that there's a little bit more to figure out here that these kids have to teach us that then we can be these beautiful channels, these courageous channels out there to give a little bit more rhyme and reason, meaning to really what the bigger message is that the rest of us are waking up to. So thank you, Grace. Any parting words, anything that you want to share with anybody else right now? Grace. Are you there? Maybe Grace. Almost done.
Can you hear me?
All right, there you are. Okay, yeah, I got you back. Okay. This is the joy of being in the mountains. All right. Okay. Oh, thank you so much for coming. Is there anything else that you feel that you just absolutely need to say out loud into the world right now before we go?
Well, all I'd really like to say is thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to share. Okay. And if anybody is interested in purchasing the book, it's a small book, so it's a quick read. It is available at Lifestyle Meditation, and that's such a blessing. Thank you so much. And also many chapters in Edmonton, Calgary, Red Deer. I don't know how far your listeners go, but yes, pick up the book and share the information. And any questions, please contact me at childrenofautumn.com. So happy to be here to share.
So good to have you.
Thank you so much.
To have you. And you and I will talk soon.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, thanks, Grace. Have an awesome rest of your day. Go do your thing. World Autism Day. Okay, sounds great, Grace. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye.